Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Throughout college, I worked a series of crappy jobs to make a bit of extra cash. In the space of 4 years, I was a barista, a waitress, a receptionist, and even a babysitter. Some of those jobs were dull and more than a little underpaid. But there's one place I would never, ever work again. McDonald's. I was only there for 2 months before a terrifying encounter made me too afraid to go back. This all happened sometime after midnight. On three sides of the restaurant, there was a poorly lit car park, and to the rear, a quiet road. That made it hard to see outside of the building. We closed the doors at 10 p.m. every night, then we served customers via the drive-thru until 3 a.m. I was sitting by the window, alone, trying not to nod off, when a man pulled up in a 1996 beige Saturn coupe. He had on a long trench coat and black cap, tipped downward to hide his face. As he pulled up, I slid back the glass and said, "Hi there, what can I get for you?" The man didn't respond. "What can I get for you?" I repeated, a little louder this time, thinking he might not hear too well. Tilting his head up, the man grinned. I got a good look at the lower half of his face. His bottom teeth were all brown and rotted, with plenty of gaps in between. I forced myself not to shiver, conscious I might insult him. I said, "Is there anything..." "Well, hello, darling," he interrupted suddenly. "What's your name?" "Great, another creeper." I tapped my name tag, sighing. He leaned forward and squinted. "Nora, that's a nice name. What a pretty girl like you doing working in a dump like this, Nora." All I could think was, not again. He wasn't the first late-night perv I'd run into. "Sir," I said, making no attempt to hide how annoyed I was. "If you're not going to order, I'll have to ask, are you here alone?" he asked, craning his neck to look past me. I swallowed a lump in my throat. "Look," he leaned forward, "I'd be happy to come in and keep you company." The stink of liquor overpowered the bacon grease and fries. I could see the man's car was filthy. Half-eaten tacos and pizza littered the dashboard. He reached forward and drummed his yellow, dirt-crusted fingernails against the drive-thru window. "What time you get off, Nora? I could take you for a spin." With my pulse between my temples, I slid the window shut, locked it, went around the corner to hide behind a shelf, and then called for my supervisor, who was up in the office.
"Be out in a minute,"
he shouted back. I folded my arms across my chest. The man gave me a seriously bad vibe, worse than all the other creeps I dealt with put together, and I didn't want to go back out until I was sure he was gone. A few seconds later, I heard a loud rap against the window. I shuddered. There was a monitor mounted at the point where two walls met the ceiling. On the screen, footage from around the restaurant cycled through every few seconds. First, I saw myself, sandwiched between two rows of plastic cups. A few seconds later, it flicked to the office, where my supervisor was on his knees counting out 20s and lodging them in the safe. Then it flicked to the inside of the restaurant, to an empty kids' play area and chairs turned upside down on tables. And then finally, it flicked to the drive-thru, where the man was standing right outside the window, his hands cupped over his eyes so he could peer in, the door to his coupe wide open. Although the footage was in black and white, I could see dark patches all over his jeans. He awkwardly scratched his chest with both hands, the way an addict entering withdrawal would, before pounding on the glass again. Then I heard a muffled, "Nora, come out and say hey, baby." The footage flicked away from him again. It felt like it took hours to cycle back, although it couldn't have been any more than 30 seconds. When it showed the outside, there was an empty car. Just an empty car. The man had disappeared. I cringed inside. I heard a bash against the glass doors and shrieked. Then I screamed for my supervisor. It sounded like the man was breaking in. My supervisor bolted out of the office and asked what was wrong. I told him about the drunk man. On the monitor, the creepy man repeatedly bashed the front door with his elbow. My supervisor called the police. Then he took me up into the cramped office, which had a secure door. I didn't realize I'd been holding my breath until we were safe up there. The office had several monitors we used to track the man as he traveled around the building searching for a way in. After that, he shouted my name a few times before speeding off in his coupe. As he pulled away, we tried to record his license plate, but it was covered with a black cloth. The police arrived a few minutes later. My supervisor asked if I was okay to work the drive-thru again, or if I'd rather take off early. I told him I'd be okay and serve some customers while he dealt with the police. He gave them a copy of the footage, and they promised to keep an eye out for the man, although the lack of a license plate would make it hard to track him down. For the next few hours, I darted back and forth between serving the occasional customer and keeping my eyes glued to the monitor, terrified the man might come back. At 3 a.m., my supervisor and I locked up and then exited the restaurant together. He walked me all the way to my car. I climbed in, closed, and locked the door. Then he gave a friendly salute and made his way across the bay towards his car. I thumbed through my purse, gathering my things, and then started the ignition. The headlights illuminated a row of bushes. Before I could reverse out, something caught my eye. There was a parking ticket, wedged beneath the right wiper. Almost on instinct, I opened the driver's side door to climb out. But a split second or less before my foot hit the ground, a voice in the back of my mind told me something wasn't right. How could I get a parking ticket at this time of night? Outside McDonald's, of all places? I quickly closed and locked the door, suddenly very scared again. And then I was reversing out of the space and speeding away. The whole way home, my eyes were fixated on the rearview mirror, just in case the creepy guy had followed me. When I got home, I rushed inside and took a proper look at the ticket. My name was scribbled across the front in messy block letters, almost as if written by an infant. The registration was one I didn't recognize, but beneath make of vehicle, it read Saturn Coupe, the same car the creepy man drove. I called the police, now shivering badly and soaked with sweat, and explained both the encounter at the drive-thru and what I'd found on my windshield. They promised to look into it. I was on edge for the next few days, although the scariest part was yet to come. Using the information I'd given them, the police tracked down the man. Shortly after they did, I received an unsettling call. He was now the lead suspect in a string of murder cases. He'd murdered three women in circumstances eerily similar to my encounter. His most recent victim was a truck stop waitress he'd harassed, just like me, until the chef came out and scared him away. After her shift ended, she noticed a ticket on her windshield, and perhaps on instinct, walked over to collect it. And that's when the man leaped out and attacked her. He'd placed the dummy ticket there to trick her into walking around to the front of her car, in the dark, alone. If that voice in my head hadn't stopped me before I climbed out of the car, I'd have become victim number four. I called up my supervisor and quit McDonald's that very same day. This took place a few years ago when I was 16. I'll admit that I was young and naive and tended to believe that I would never meet anyone that could wish or do me any harm, as I grew up in a very small town and everyone knew each other. It all started on my first day of work at McDonald's. I don't really remember anything unusual for that shift, except for meeting my stalker, who I'll refer to as D. For some context, D was a 26-year-old guy at the time that this took place, and he happened to move to the town I live in about a year before I met him, so no one in town knew much about him. As I was saying, it was near the end of my shift when D came up to me to introduce himself as he was one of my coworkers. The first thing that D said to me was, "I know your name is Emma, but I don't know your age." I replied back that I was 16. He then made a few remarks about how I looked more mature than 16, which I awkwardly laughed off, as I have never been in a situation like this, and also wanted to build a good relationship with the people I'm working with. After those awkward remarks, he tried making more conversation with me, while hovering around me and watching me restock items for the front counter area. He told me that he was 26, but that mentally he was 16, and that he moved here because he was running from the police, which should have been major red flags to me to just ignore him and not continue the conversation. However, I gave him the benefit of the doubt that he was just awkward and it couldn't have been anything serious, as he lived here almost a year and the police haven't gone after him. After I finished restocking, I clocked out and waited at one of the tables in the lobby for my mom to pick me up. Dee followed me to the table and began asking me for my number as he enjoyed talking to me. Luckily, I had enough common sense to tell him no and that I didn't feel comfortable giving a guy that was 10 years older than me my number. He kept begging for my number after I told him no. So I told him if he guessed my number, he could have it. He surprisingly agreed to this and proceeded to try and guess my number until my mom showed up. Once I got home, I took a shower and started playing mobile games on my phone when all of a sudden I got a text message from an unknown number. It said, "Hey, I enjoyed talking with you. Do you work tomorrow?" I replied back, "Who is this?" "It's Dee. How did you get my number?" "Oh, I saw it on your application." "How did you see my application?"
"It was just sitting out on the manager's desk."
"Oh." I then blocked him and started to realize that Dee is a little creepy. The next shift that I worked, Dee was also working. As soon as he saw me, he stormed up to me and asked me why I wasn't responding to his messages and calls. I lied and told him that my mom found out he messaged me and she made me block him. I know that I shouldn't have lied, but he just seemed so angry and I didn't want him to blow up at me. He then asked if we could message on an app that my mom wouldn't know about, and I told him no, and that we shouldn't have any sort of relationship outside of work because I'm 16 and he's 26, and implied that it's inappropriate for him to try to pursue any sort of relationship. He became more frustrated and told me that I was a bitch because he was only trying to be my friend and that he has no friends here. I don't deal well with confrontations, so I apologized and just tried to quietly do my job. He spent the rest of his shift slamming things in the kitchen area and muttering every time he had to walk past me. From then on, he would either act like my best friend or like he hated me at work. I dreaded going to work because of him, but it was the only place where I could work that was close to my home, as I would either wait for my mom to pick me up or just walk home. On one of the nights that he was pretending to be my best friend, he mentioned seeing me walk home and that he followed me to my house to make sure I was safe. He then proceeded to tell me where my bedroom was, and the only window from my room led into the backyard, that is just a forest. This is when I snapped, because it had been about 2 months of him being like this, and I told him to leave me alone and stop talking to me. After my outburst, he seemed shocked at first, but he left me alone for about 3 weeks or so, I thought. I found out later from other coworkers that he followed me home after my shifts, and that he told everyone we were dating, but that I was too shy to show my affection for him in public. After those 3 weeks, he called my mom. I'm assuming he got her number from my application as she was listed as my emergency contact. He called her and left a voicemail that asked for my hand in marriage, and that any man would be blessed to marry me. Of course, my mom freaked out and questioned me on who left her the voicemail. I don't know why I lied, maybe because I thought I was going to be in trouble, but I said it was just some kid from school playing a prank and she believed me. After that, I just ignored Dee at work and decided that I shouldn't give him any sort of reaction to hopefully deter him from this obsessive behavior. I also always had my mom pick me up after I worked and would make sure all the doors and windows were locked after everyone else in my house went to bed. However, ignoring Dee did nothing and he would just constantly try to talk to me while I work and he ignored my lack of participation in the conversation. It got to the point where everyone at work noticed his obsessive behavior with me, and my manager pulled me aside one day to talk about Dee's behavior. She told me that she has been watching Dee's behavior around me, and she can tell how uncomfortable I am around him. I told her I was uncomfortable around Dee, but I didn't mention him stalking me, because I convinced myself that if I kept my head down and ignored it, that it would just stop. Luckily, that's all it took for her to switch his schedule. So we didn't work the same shifts, and she informed the other managers, so that he couldn't try to swap shifts with other coworkers that had the same shift as me. At first I was happy because I wouldn't have to be around him anymore. However, my happiness was short-lived, as he would show up while I was working and just watch me while he sat in the lobby. The managers couldn't kick him out as he would always order a soda to stay in the lobby as a paying customer, and we can't kick out paying customers, unless they do something drastic. This behavior went on for months of him just watching me work until one day he clocked out and never came back. Turns out he got kicked out by his landlord and had to move back to his hometown. I didn't think anything of it, and was just relieved that my stalker was finally gone. Until my one coworker asked me how it felt being in a long-distance relationship. I was confused, and then she asked me about D. That's when I found out that he told everyone we were dating, and that they had to move his shift as coworkers that are in a relationship aren't allowed to work together, and that no one said anything because I was supposedly shy about our relationship. I quickly informed her that we were never dating, and told her about how he followed me and some of his strange behavior. Shortly after that, every coworker that thought we were dating learned the truth of the situation and told me the lies he would say about our relationship. Hearing the delusions he had made me realize how dangerous the situation was. One of the delusions that he had that stood out to me was him planning to propose to me as we wanted to get married, and that it would be the right thing to do as I was pregnant with his child. All in all, it was one of the worst times of my life. And to this day, I always check the locks on every window and door before I go to sleep.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.